The AA Meeting presents Crown Talk. Hi, my name is Rebecca, aka Crown Riri, and this is Crown Talk. And I have here the wonderful Miss MJ Baker. Hi.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really well.
Okay. How was your morning? Was it good?
It was good. Yeah. Got up like 8 o'clock
mm-hmm.
and bummed around a little bit and then cleaned up a little bit.
I woke up at 3 and I was like, I'm hungry, but I don't feel like getting up. But then my hunger was more like, you need to get up. So I've been up since 3. But
oh my goodness.
Yeah, I think I took a nap because I woke up and it was like 7. And everybody knows I have animals and they don't let me sleep past 7:45. So I've been up.
Okay.
So Miss MJ Baker,
mm-hmm.
I have to say Miss because I just love saying that. Mm-hmm. You reached out to me and said, I need my crown recognized. And I was like, yes, I love it. Because, which is so funny, because I was looking at a video, and it said that there's no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside of you. And I feel like we all have, like, our crown stories that we have to either get out there some way, somehow, and tell. That's what the platform is for. So thank you for reaching out to me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, I definitely love the concept of your podcast and what you do and the things that you talk about. And I was like, well, I would like to. And I'm not the person, I guess, I'm not the type of person. I always think that, you know, I guess we were raised that, you know, if you want, you know, don't, what do you call it?
Brag on yourself.
Don't brag on yourself.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of let people come to you. That's not humility or whatever. But then it's like one day I was like, you know what? I want to talk to some people and I want to be on somebody else's podcast because I'm always interviewing people. So, because I do a podcast with Damian Lamar and Bill Francois called Taste Test Live.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm always interviewing people, asking people about their lives. And I was like, maybe I should reach out to some podcasts because I'm an artist and I do stuff.
So, I love
it. Be my own PR.
That's what Crown Talk and like when I say like Crown Recognize or hey, we all crowned. And sometimes you'll be like, excuse me.
Right.
My crown is here. So I get it. So thank you for reaching out to me. Okay, so if you don't know, I have my paper here. I'm MJ Baker, is an independent singer, songwriter living in Jacksonville, Florida, who possesses a timely elegance that mesmerizes her audience. Whether performing solo or with her band, she amplifies everything that superstars are made of. And I read your biography.
Mm-hmm.
And I love when you, at the bottom of it says, to motivate people who fear the unknown to pursue the midst of their fears, to trust that the creator would have not given such an amazing gift and talent if he didn't want us to use them. As we discover the weird, the awkward, the mysterious within, that we would accept it, cultivate it, and share it with the world. I love that.
Yes.
Because I feel like I'm like, before Issa Rae would say that she was awkward, I always felt like I was, like, awkward.
Yeah.
And always, like, stood out to where I can never fit in.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, like, it's uncomfortable to fit in.
Right.
So that really, thank you. What made you have that concept as far as, like, with your music?
I think it just kind of fell into that. I think, you know, as I started growing as an individual, like, personally, and then as I started realizing, like you said, okay, awkward, you know, not fitting in.
Yeah.
And what I realized is that we are all individuals and we're not supposed to fit in.
Right.
We're not supposed to, you know, be clones of each other.
Mm.
And so that is what makes us all unique.
Right.
And you know, we're supposed to be okay with this person not looking like me, or walking or talking like me. But I feel like I feel like definitely the constraints of the world, meaning, you know, everybody wanting to do this sameness.
Which is really weird. Because yeah. you would think you would not want to be the same.
Right. But we've been programmed this way.
It's, yeah.
You know, it's been a dream that we all have been sold. And mm-hmm. I think some people choose to buy the dream and some people choose not to.
Right.
And but the majority choose to buy into it because yeah. we don't know anything better.
Very true. Yeah. And like you said, everything is so hyped up too. It's like if you're not doing this, then right. you that's when you look awkward or weird.
Right.
Or,
yeah. And so it's like when I wrote this statement, I wasn't completely, you know, I wasn't completely accepting of myself.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I wrote this a couple of years ago, but I felt like in my heart and in my spirit, this is what, you know, the Creator wanted me to do.
Right.
And I trusted that I would be able to get to a place where I could really truly share it.
Yeah.
And actually do what it says.
Yeah.
So it was a, you know, a mission and a challenge statement for me. So just going through those things personally. And then as I started, you know, performing my music.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when people walk up to you and say, you know, wow, that song really touched me. And they tell you what they interpret the song to be. And
right.
I'm like, whoa, I didn't even
think about that.
Yeah. Or I didn't write it for that purpose.
Right.
But that's cool. Or, you know, I mean, just as performers, as artistic people, I feel like we are purpose to give off a certain energy when you
right.
walk in a room. Mm-hmm. Well, I think people, period, when we walk in a room, our energy, where we're at in our lives, walks in before us.
Right. Very true.
You know, walks in with us. So we can set the stage for ourselves if we want to. And,
yeah.
you know, so when, as an artist, when I'm on stage, you know, whether I'm singing or speaking, you know, what energy am I giving off to people?
Right.
And so, you know, that's another reason for that statement, because, you know, to be for people to be able to see that, you know, you're already accepted, and it doesn't matter, you know, what you look like or where you're at in your life.
Yes.
And don't worry about what other people think. But that's a hard, you know, that's a hard thing to walk through. That's
yeah,
hard...
I agree. Because everybody knows I'm part of the Beehive. one thing that Beyonce said, of course, is that when she posts something, she doesn't look down at the comments at all. She just posts and go about her business. And I was like, for her to say that, and then my little compare to her life, it's like, actually, I would just like feel the way I feel about something, do whatever pose I want, and just keep it moving. It's
right.
like, I have other things to do. I just want to share this moment with you guys and leave it at that.
Right.
Yeah. Instead of, you know, the, oh man, maybe she's right, or maybe this, or it's like, no, this is what I know for sure is me.
Right.
Yeah. So from there, that's when you got your aliens, as you call your people.
Yeah, my followers, yeah.
Okay, and what does the aliens stand for?
Okay, get ready. Some big words in here. Okay.
Yeah, I was looking at you. I was like, what? Okay, I think I got it.
Okay, so authentically living, intrinsically evolving naturally.
Yes.
So all of that kind of encompasses about being ourselves. And it goes back again to authenticity, you know, starts with authenticity. What does that mean? It means that you're being your pure self.
Right.
But sometimes we don't even know what our pure self is.
Very true.
And like, for example, you know, you know, there are people who say, I'm just mean and I'm just this way and this is who I am. But really, that is not who you are.
Right.
The result of your attitude or you being a certain type of way is because maybe you got hurt at some point.
Yeah.
Disappointed at some point. And then we use that characteristic we embrace that characteristic as a defense mechanism.
Yeah. You talk to me. So yeah.
You know, but that is not your pure self. I mean, and then I learned these things through therapy. I am an advocate of going to therapy.
Yes.
I am an advocate of counseling.
Mm-hmm.
There are only so many things that our friends and the people around us can help us with.
So true.
You know, it's like the minute I, you know, there was a season where I stopped going to my friends and I just dealt with myself,
yes.
you know, and allowed, you know, my, you know, being vulnerable with a stranger, you know, my
therapist.
That's
the best feeling though.
Yeah. And,
yeah.
Being vulnerable, you know, with her and allowing her to question my life.
Yes.
And get and I got offended sometimes.
You get uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's you're very like,
excuse me.
Right. But yeah. It's like working through that process. I'm continuing to go through that process every day.
Mm-hmm.
I get surprised sometimes. Oh man, I didn't know I was still dealing with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
You know, it's like you get aggravated, but the authentic part, I think a lot of us, what we view as authenticity is not authenticity. It's just us doing what we've always done.
Right.
Or deciding that this is how I'm going to be because of this. And then, you know, it's like, you know, authentically living. So that means you're putting it into action.
Right.
That means every day we're putting it doesn't mean perfection. This is not perfection. This is each one of these words mean that we are putting in the work.
Right.
You know, to just make a difference within ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Then we can make a difference with everyone else in our lives.
Yeah, because when you say living, it's like because we are living, that is us trying to reach perfection, but we will never get to perfection.
Right.
So,
And you know, and the living part is, you know, a lot of us feel like we're living our best lives, but we're not.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because the reflection of living your best life, we think is, oh, I'm going to Mexico with my friends, or I'm doing this and doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, or drinking or going out with your girlfriends or whatever, you know, for some people that may be a big deal because they don't ever get out of the house. But then for some people, the living part is actually dealing with your ish, you know.
Right.
I don't know. Can I curse on
you? Yeah, you can curse on
you. Okay. So dealing with your shit,
yes.
You know, and really getting in there. And so, you know, and intrinsically meaning recognizing that we are that we're individuals,
mm-hmm.
and we're unique.
Right.
And accepting that uniqueness. Like we talk, like the weird, the awkward.
Yeah.
Like those things that, those are normal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's a great feeling once you accept it. Like, this is just who I am.
Right. You know, and this is just how I am. And, you know, it's like, for example, it's like one of my friends was like, man, I didn't know you were an asshole. And I was like, Yeah,
that's me.
I can be that way sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes that is a characteristic, you know, and it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. But, you know, I don't do it to hurt someone's feelings. And if I do, I'll apologize.
Right. It's not intentional.
Right. It's not. It's never intentional.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it is. You know, mm-hmm. if I'm it's like I'm learning it's okay to have moods.
Yeah.
As long as they're not a detriment to you or the other person.
And there's balance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just recognizing that, you mm-hmm. know, today is just not the day. Like,
that's when I stay home.
Yeah.
I'll stay home because I don't want to risk other people's lives.
Right.
I just sit here on my couch and just Netflix. And
right, stuff, right, so. Right.
Yeah. For their safety.
So. And mm-hmm. then, you know, Ian evolving naturally. So I feel like once we, being authentic,
mm-hmm.
understanding intrinsically how we are, then you can't help but to evolve.
Right.
Naturally.
Yeah.
It's just a natural movement. And I know that these are big words, and I know people are like, but immediately when I started, I just know that several years ago, I got the word alien from a scripture in the Bible that talked about how we are foreigners. Some Bibles say aliens, sojourning
through, right.
you know, this land. And I saw that and I thought, and it hit me,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I was like, you know what? And then the scripture that says we are in this world, but not of this world.
Right.
And so that hit me too. And I said, wow, that's an alien.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you out know, something outer, something that is here, but mm-hmm. we're not of this world.
Right.
And, which means that, you know, we have some things to walk out here,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't mean that we have to submit to what society says as far as us being the same or,
right.
you know, doing the same things. You know, you have girls killing themselves,
yeah.
you know, in order to look a certain way, in order to be a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and also you have the same with men, you know, they too are
wearing toupees. Well, whatever they're doing with their hair. But yeah.
I mean, you have it like to where, you know, there are men who are living false lives as well.
Yeah.
You know, and whether that false life is pretending to be gangster when you're not.
Yeah.
You know, or pretending to be the sweet guy when you're really not.
Really not.
You know,
yeah.
Whatever it is, it's like, you know, I feel like we're all pretending because we feel like, you know, if we show who we really are, will people still love me and care for me? So
yeah, which is sad because it's like, it's sometimes it takes more harder work to try to fit in with people or trying to pretend to be someone. And I'm wondering, the word intent is, you know, unfortunately, when people have the intent to do like harm, they work on it.
Right.
They have like a lineup. They've been researching. They've been doing all this. But when you have intent to do good, it's like, you don't, it's not there. And it's just like, you be the intent to have, like, just be yourself.
Right.
It's way easier than trying to, I mean, like, K. Michelle is always talking about her ass shots. And it's like, okay, you had them, you took them out, it's your fault, whatever.
Right.
But it's just like, you know, you could just left your butt alone and left it at that.
Right.
But I get it. Because I had to learn to, like, accept myself. This past year, when I had, like, so much going on, I was like, okay. I'm actually realizing, because my circle got smaller, like, who I really am.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said earlier about, I was like, I don't have a heart. I don't care. I don't love people, whatever. I'm good. And just like talking to my counselor, she was like, I'm not by your actions.
Right.
Apparently you have a heart. And I was like, no, I don't. I'm like Angela Bassett on Wait to Exhale. She was like, no, you're not. And I was like, yes, I am. And she was like saying like stuff that I do. And she was like, the person that doesn't have a heart wouldn't do these things.
Right.
And I was like, all right, sis, you're right. Whatever. So yeah, we have like an awkward talk. So I just be like, I don't want to hear this, but you need to hear it because it's the truth.
Right.
So, and it's coming from a stranger, but they know it makes sense. Like when you hear it, you're like, oh yeah, that's why this happens or that happens, or, oh, that's my fault. So yes, I encourage people to talk to counselors if they need to. Like you said,
definitely.
Friends, they know you, so they may not want to tell you the full truth.
Right.
Or, you might hear the truth from them, but it sounds like they might be hating on you. So,
I think too, for my thing is like, during the season where I kind of just, I guess, went quiet for myself, it was more so because I realized that I depended so much on people.
Yes.
I depended a lot on their opinions and their thoughts, and, you know, and I felt like I needed that approval in order to survive.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I realized, man, how much of a people pleaser I was and how much of a, you know, my need to be accepted by people. So when I went through the process of understanding that I'm already accepted by the Creator.
Right.
That is why He created me.
Yes.
And that I needed to accept myself.
Yes.
So that year of silence, you know, and I lost friends because of it. You know, I lost relationships because of it, and I was happier for it because it made me see, okay, well, you know, this wasn't for me,
you know,
and this was a time for us to be let go. But then there were girlfriends who were like, listen, I don't know what's going on, but just know that I am here.
Right.
You know,
that's something about what you need sometimes. Just, I'm here.
Right. And and just to and in doing that, it taught me how to be more understanding towards people.
Yes.
And more gracious towards them.
Mm-hmm.
In a more balanced way,
and
not grace, because grace isn't allowing people to run over you.
Right.
Grace is just saying, okay, I get where you're at right
now.
You
got one more time.
I understand.
Right.
But listen, just don't talk to me like that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can
do whatever.
Do what, you know, hey, go about your business, but,
you
know, don't do it to my detriment.
Right.
Know, don't do it on me. So,
I love it. Yes. You got one more time and then, you cut off forever. Not for real, but. Okay. So, how important is it for you to live in your truth?
I think it's like breathing.
Hmm.
You know, to live in your truth is breathing. And it goes back to authenticity.
Right.
That is living in your truth.
Right.
It is, you know, authenticity is being able to accept yourself at any level where you're at, and to trust that, you know, if it's not the right place to be,
right,
that you will get out of it, you know. And so I feel like truth is like breathing air.
I like that. Yeah. I'm learning how to live in my truth. Sharing my story. I'm trying to learn how to share my story because my story is connected with somebody else. But last year, I was in a relationship for like 10 years and they decided to like have their distance or whatever. And I was just like, oh, this is me by myself. Like, right. I never know how to be like by myself.
Right, right.
And there were like certain things that were going, like, still going on in my life. And I was just like, normally I can turn around and ask this person, you know, how do you feel about this? But I was like, no, I have to decide my truth and decide mm-hmm. where I want to be and decide like where I am.
Right.
So yeah, I'm learning how to still live my truth. Cause someday I'd be like, I don't want to do anything, to be honest with you.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Or just like, well, where is this coming from? Or this emotion coming from? And it's like, it was there the whole time.
Yeah.
But because, you know, like you say, you trying to please that person or trying to just be like, okay, whatever, I'm good. And it's like, no, I have a voice. You need to hear it.
So, right. Yeah.
I love it. Okay. And what motivates you to motivate others?
I would say, I guess, knowing where I have been mm-hmm. and where I am. And so it's like when an opportunity comes to be able to share, you know, hey, I know what it's like to be here.
And, right.
You know, listen, sis, listen, brother, you don't want to sit in this for too long.
Right.
But, you know, whatever. I mean, I feel like when the universe opens up an opportunity, when God presents something to you
mm-hmm.
to share to people, you know, because for so long I had been ashamed of, you know, the things that I would go through
mm-hmm.
or because I had the illusion that I had to be perfect, you know, and that I had to be a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And if I wasn't that way, then people would not respect me or understand me or love me. So to be able to say to somebody, hey, I've been here and, you know, I know what it is. Yeah, I fell for it too. Or,
yeah.
You know, whatever the case may be. Or I know what it's like to be in a relationship with someone and you're thinking that you guys are going to live a certain way or,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm thinking this person is really my friend or
yeah.
I'm thinking this, you know, so to be able to just kind of help others and motivate them, but inappropriately, like, because it's not for us to share with everybody.
Thank you.
It has to be set up. I believe in that divine connection.
Me too.
I believe in those divine moments.
Mm-hmm.
And so, when that happens, when that opportunity comes, you know, to be able to share, because sometimes you're not prompted to say anything.
Yes, and you definitely get feedback.
Yeah. Silence is everything.
Yes.
You know, or whatnot, so.
That's very true, because sometimes people be trying to, like, well, you know, I actually don't care. Like, nobody wants to hear you when it's not, like you said, divine. It's just like,
right. You
telling me your problems, I'm telling you my problems. It's like, you know, it's not motivating me because you're sitting here with your 1,000 problems. Right. So, yeah, I
agree.
And then
sometimes, you know what, but sometimes when it's set up divine, they still may not receive it.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
Know, because it's like, because anytime we're sharing our story or a piece of something,
mm-hmm.
it's always a seed.
Yeah.
It is always a seed because, you know, I have friends who, you know, like, for example, I have a, you know, one of my close girlfriends, you know, who is, you know, she, you know, my girlfriends would be like, why don't you ever like the dudes that I'm dating or whatever?
Yeah.
And I'm like, bitch, because I don't think they're good enough.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Be honest.
So,
yeah.
You know, but I'm not going to, I'm going to kiki with them, but I'm not, I'm just going to be like, keep moving.
Yeah.
Keep it moving. But, you know, but the part, but they don't want to hear that.
Right. Until they come ask you.
Right. Yeah. They don't want to hear that at that moment. And then sometimes I will just say, you can do better, dog.
Yeah.
You know, and then, and even at that time, like I remember a girlfriend of mine, you know, she got really upset because I shared my thoughts.
Yeah.
And I just said, I'm just saying.
I'm just telling you my feelings.
I'm just telling you. This shit ain't gonna work.
Right.
You know, and so for her at that moment, you know, even because I had been holding it in, and then finally, you know, she said, well, you're not saying anything. Why don't you ever say anything? I said, because I think this shit is fucked up and I don't like it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and she got upset with me, you know, but then months later,
whatever happened.
It didn't work out.
Yeah.
You know? Now she's happily married, you know, to a great guy. So,
wonderful.
You know, whatever. And when I met him, I fell in love with him instantly.
Aww.
But, you know, and yeah. I'm just saying, you know, but we all have our, you, I mean, but, you know, I'm saying to the point of, you know, I planted a seed, you know, and then we talk about it now and she laughs, you know, we laugh about that. She's like, man, you're so tough, you know,
yeah,
or whatever. And I'm like, well,
I'm your friend.
Yeah. And I love you like a sister. So,
yeah,
you know, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. Like I said, motivation is not something. I always tell my listeners, the Crown ones, that I don't want to turn into like a motivational speaker or anything like that. I just like to share stories about my life or experiences or things that I come across, because I believe, you know, that's how people get pushed to do, you know, whatever they need to do. So very important. Okay. What is the message that you want to make sure is heard through your music?
Definitely, I feel like, you know, my intent is always, you know, love. And it doesn't necessarily mean you like romantic love, but just acceptance, you know, the love that surpasses all understanding, that greater love. So, you know, no matter what I'm, you know, what the words may say, I do want the spirit of the music, the energy to be always love, acceptance, and knowing who you are, you know, just that authentic pureness. So, you know, my intent with all of my music is always, you know, on a level of greater.
Right.
You know, even if I'm singing about me and a dude, you know,
yeah.
I want it to be, you know, however people interpret it, you know, to be there, be open to that. Yeah.
That's good. What do you listen to when you're in the mood to, I guess, record or write? Or,
you know what, to be honest, I don't listen to anything because I don't want to be influenced by anything but what I hear.
I can see that. Yeah.
You know, because, but I, you know, I will say that it, and if I am listening, I'm never, it's never intentional. So, like, for example, I was, Sweetest Thing, you know, Lauryn Hill from Miss Education, Lauryn Hill.
Of course.
was ringing. Like, sometimes music will just start ringing, songs will just ring in my spirit. And so it's like, and it'll keep ringing to the point where, okay, let me just go listen to the song.
Yeah.
I'll listen to it. And so one day I listened to it. And then I said, let me see if I can play this song on the guitar. So I got the guitar and the chords were easy. So I started playing it and singing it, you know, just chilling. And then it was like the next day, it just, the next day I was like, and I just started writing.
Wow.
And I just started, and that sparked some inspiration because then I started getting mushy and started thinking. And
oh,
I was
Lauryn
like,
Hill. Yeah.
Okay. You know, and then you just start writing and it's like, you know, so yeah, sometimes I'll, you know, garner, but it's not ever purposely. Like, I don't listen to other artists to get inspired.
Yeah. That makes sense.
You know, I just kinda go within myself, or, you know, I could think about a moment and just wanna write, you know, about that moment. So
great. When you said music stuck in your head, for the past, I want to say about 3 weeks, even when I come home, Erykah Badu's Bag Ladies have been playing in my head for the past 3 weeks.
Really?
Whenever I'm just having like a moment at home, I'm like, Alexa, play Erykah Badu Bag Lady. And I don't know why I keep listening to that song, it's stuck in my head, but yeah, so I understand. I don't know what I'm supposed to, like, clean bags, I throw bags away, or I don't know, but yeah, I get it. I'm like, what is Erykah trying to tell me? I don't know. So when I figure it out, I'll share.
I mean, well, it's like, have you ever looked up the lyrics to see what the meaning of the song is?
I don't think I looked up the lyrics because I know them by heart, but no, I haven't. I don't know. When she was like, a nigga's running away from me? I don't know.
Because she says, okay, so let's look up lyrics real quick.
Sure.
bag lady, you gonna hurt your back dragging all them bags like that. Mm-hmm. I guess nobody ever told you all you must hold on to is you, is you, is you.
Maybe I have a bag or something.
Yeah. So it's like, I mean, because you know what? This is what, okay, so I was raised in the church and, mm-hmm. you know, me things too. Like that. And when I started leading worship, I used to be a worship leader. Mm-hmm. And, well, I kind of feel like I still am, but just on a higher level.
Yeah.
But in that, with what I was saying was, I feel like we all have songs of deliverance. And mm-hmm. the songs come in various seasons.
Right.
So it's like, you know, let's look at Bag Lady. Because I kind of knew that this song, Bag, because what she's saying, the essence of what she says in this song is, you're carrying too much.
Yeah.
So there is a load that you're carrying.
Right.
That mm-hmm. you need to let go of. You know
probably
what I mean?
Something in my house. Yeah.
And it could be something spiritual.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it could be something greater because what she's not talking about cleaning out a house.
Right.
She's speaking up cleaning out your spiritual home, your
yeah.
mental home, your complete self.
Yeah.
And so what is it that sometimes we carry, you know, and it could be shit we're carrying from our parents. I realized that I was carrying some things from my mother, from mm-hmm. my father,
mm-hmm.
you know, things that they were taught that they just passed along to me. You know,
yeah.
ignorantly and not knowing. So, you know, so definitely look up lyrics to that song
yeah.
and I say pray about it.
Give me, thank you. Give me homework. But yeah, I'm like, Alexa, play Bag Lady. So,
yeah.
I bet my dog is just like, again, sis, what's going on?
Right.
Okay. One of the things that you shared that I posted was about self-cations. I recently just started taking them with everything that was happening last year. And, yeah, so I work and I take like 3 or 4 days off, like every 3 months just mm-hmm. to just balance out between my life and my work life and podcasting, which I love. But I was talking about self-cation and taking care of yourself, and how important is that to you? Take self-care, self-cation.
I would say self-care is like, to me, the same as, again, breathing.
Mm-hmm.
It's another, you know, it's like, so it's just a scripture in the Bible, it's Matthew something,
mm-hmm.
Where is it, John? But the scripture is what Christ is saying, talking about the second greatest commandment is love thy neighbor as thyself.
Mm, very true.
Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Verse was 36-40.
Okay.
But it talks about, it says, you know, so when that came, so it's like when the Holy Spirit revealed that to me, you know, because I'm a believer in Christ.
Me too.
I believe in Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so when that scripture came to me when I first started walking out my journey, because you know, I've been walking out a journey of celibacy.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'll tell you what I have, but go ahead.
And when I decided to walk out that journey of celibacy, I, you know, had to, you know, do some self-evaluation, you know, whatever. Because it's not just about being celibate from sex, but
right.
It's about also going within yourself and being able to, again, accept yourself.
Yes.
And so the scripture came to me and I was like looking for it. And then it was like, really, it was the revelation that came to me was, how can I love somebody truly
mm-hmm.
if I cannot love myself truly?
And right.
You know, and that's where the self-care came in, because, you know, I heard a lot of people talk about it, and I'm self-caring today, you know, I'm taking a bubble bath today, I'm
yeah.
doing this, I'm doing that, whatever. And so, and that was cool, but it goes deeper than the bath, because
right.
the intent of it is accepting and loving yourself on a deeper level. And
yes.
So for me, self-care, like I said, is like breathing, because if I can't look at myself in the mirror
mm-hmm.
daily
mm-hmm.
and say, hey girl, you're cute. Hey girl, you look good. And there were,
right.
and for the I don't think there had ever been a day in my life up until last year that I could do that.
I feel you. Yeah.
That I could look at myself and look beyond, you know, facial features.
Yeah.
And, you know, or even look at myself naked.
Mm-hmm.
And be able to love, you know, my stomach,
mm-hmm.
even if it's not flat.
Yeah.
You know, love my thighs, even though they rub together.
Which is no problem. Know, I get it.
You know,
yeah.
You know, still, and even sometimes I still have to, you know, paint a, you know, even sometimes I'll look at myself and say, it's okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The roles are okay. And
mm-hmm.
this is okay. This is where you're at right now. And girl, you look fucking great.
Yes.
And just keep going. Slay
today.
No, right, right. And
yes.
Just as so, you know, so even speaking it over myself, you know, speaking life
mm-hmm.
to myself, speaking life to my body.
Yes.
Speaking life to, you know, all the situations. So self-care for me is very important. Even, you know, and like you said, taking a day off and just kind of like, which being able to kind of do whatever I want to do.
Yes.
And, you know, and just build myself up and mm-hmm. not worry about other people or be concerned or whatever.
Yes.
And, you know, I did... You know, the video I did
mm-hmm.
last week.
Which I loved.
Did you really like it?
I did.
I was very surprised. I was like, a lot of people hit me up like, thank you for sharing your...
Because people go through things and it's like, I get it. I understand.
Yeah. Yes. And so I was... Even that was, you know, the acceptance of, you know, realizing your place in people's life
mm-hmm.
was a form of self-care.
Yeah.
Because to be able to say... Oh, that hurt my feelings, but let me go through these feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And then accept that you don't value me as much as I thought you did.
I love the word value. I'm learning, like, being reteached about the word value.
Right.
Yeah.
And what I'm learning is this is why it's so important for us to really tap into our personal spirit.
Yes.
So that we can discern.
Mm-hmm.
Because we look at people's actions and we think, oh, what you're showing me is what it is when when it really is that person playing a role.
Yes.
That they think they should play.
Yes.
You know, when they feel like, you know, but instead of just being their authentic selves
mm-hmm.
and saying, you know, because I'd rather you say, I care for you. I'd rather you say, I like you a lot versus
yes.
I love you.
Right. Well, we have to be best friends. Yes.
Because don't fuck with me.
Right.
I mean, and when I say that meaning, I'm talking about friend. I'm talking about, you know, associate.
Yes.
You know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it's just I would rather you just say, you know, girl, I care very deeply for, you know, you in my heart, you know,
yeah.
whatever, you know, versus you, you know, just saying what everybody
I
else
I love said. You so much.
Right.
She was like,
like, that's, you know,
yeah.
like I hate when perfect strangers, especially guys, when they say love.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, love.
Yeah, I hate it.
But you don't know me like that.
Yes.
You don't know me like that. Don't use that word.
Right.
So
like, don't do that. Mm-hmm.
You know, don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yeah. My self-cations, I was off. Well, it was around my birthday. I was off for a week. I did not put on any makeup, which I love beating my face. But I was like, no makeup, sweatpants and crop tops because I love a good crop top. And mm-hmm. I was just like walk around the house like, this is me. This is myself. And I'm learning how to take me and take it with me when I walk out the door.
Right.
Because like I said, you have to balance out whatever life you're doing, because when you go outside the door, you are going to hear the opinions of people.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to have to, you know, if you're working, not working, like, not please other people, but make sure that they're satisfied, per se. And it's like, sometimes you lose yourself when you're trying to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, balance. So,
right.
Yes. Thank you. Yes, I'm learning the word value because being in a team relationship, there were certain values that we had different, and I didn't really realize that. So I talked to my counselor, and she was like, y'all values are different. And I was like, how? And she was like, because his word of togetherness was different than your word of being together. There's different values on that. And I was like, oh, but he was right there the whole time. And she's like, yeah, because his values were different than your values. But that didn't mean he wasn't going to leave. And I was like, oh, you're right. So I get it. Yeah. So thank God for counselors. Good grief. Ooh. Okay. So with that, the word compromise. Mm-hmm. I was listening to an album by Mahalia, and she had Eartha Kitt on there, which I love. And she was like, shortly, I think what she said. Well, she's saying it was like, I won't compromise for anybody. I'll fall in love with myself, and then someone would have to fall in love with me. I'll have it at that. And I thought about that because, you know, sometimes we grow up or we talk the word compromise is to like compromise yourself. Mm-hmm. Not 100%, but it's like a balance of it. Mm-hmm. But what do you think about the word compromise?
I think that every word, you know, especially that word, mm-hmm. I think it's not a bad word at all.
Right.
I think it's how we use the context of it. Mm-hmm. And so it's like when you think about Eartha Kitt or you think about, okay, so women, we, you know, even the word submission with a woman is thought of, you know, with the new feminism, it's mm-hmm. thought of as something terrible.
Like, excuse, I'm not doing anything.
Like slavery,
yes.
or whatever. You know, but I do believe that the right way of compromise mm-hmm. is humility, mm-hmm. is meek. You know, meaning that, you know, if you're in a relationship or a friendship, you know, like, for example, you know, I have a, you know, one of my girlfriends, you know, she likes to do certain things. She likes to dance. Mm-hmm. I am the type of person, I have to be in the mood to do that. You
right.
know what I mean? Because I just have to be in the mood.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take a couple. So because I know that she likes to dance and she may say, girl, let's go to this, you know, event or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dang, I mean, I got to dress up.
Mm-hmm.
I got to, okay.
let me get ready.
So, you know, I'm going to take a couple of shots
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to get my butt up and I'm going to get dressed and I'm going to go. That's a compromise because I do want to hang out with my friend. And
right.
I want to spend time. But that's not me compromising myself.
Right.
It's me just making a sacrifice for a friend.
Right.
And so I don't view compromise as a bad thing. I think it's like with anything. You're going to either use it for good or evil.
Yes.
And so we have to weigh, are we compromising ourselves?
Like, right.
Am I compromising who I am in order to be with somebody? And then that's when it becomes, it's perverted.
Right. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I'm learning it. Like I said, I've been just living my life for the past year in that word. Like when she said it, I was just like, because I don't think she's trying to say like a bad thing. But she was just like, this is who I am. I love myself, so whoever you know falls in love with me is gonna love me for me, and this is what they're gonna get.
Right.
But I'm sure. I think she had a couple of relationships.
Right.
So I'm sure she compromised somewhere in there.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, I was like, oh, that's a word, because I'm like I said, with me just being knowing what I want now, because I was 26 and I was I believed in unicorns at that time. You can tell me anything. I was like, all right, okay. We're together, we're not together. And then, you know, 10 years later, I'm like, oh, no, I can't believe that was her when I was 26. But anyway, but I say it to say that I'm learning that this is what I want with the show. This is what I don't want.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'm not going to do. This is what I may do.
Right.
Yeah, or, so yeah, I'm learning how to do like a whole outline of like, oh, I like being by myself. I like spending time with myself. So whoever I'm with, that person I'm going to understand. I'm being in my room today. You know, you want to stop by, it's fine. Do your thing. I'm staying home today. So yeah, I'm learning the word compromise. Okay. So, which is a question I love to ask. When did you have your crown moment?
So I feel like last year, I feel mm-hmm. like I had my crown moment was when I really started walking into my authentic self, when I really discovered who who I really was began that process. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it happened very organically, very naturally. Mm-hmm. Again, I started evolving naturally.
Right.
And then I woke up one day and realized I wasn't happy with the current state of my life. Hmm. You know, the things that I thought that I wanted or that I was happy with, I wasn't happy with those things. Mm-hmm. And the way, you know, the way things were moving in my life, mm-hmm. I just felt like I'll die first. You know what I mean? It's like when you, meaning like, when you realize that you're eulogizing yourself, mm-hmm. you know, and that you didn't even know that you were eulogizing yourself.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and is the way I can put it. You know, it's like by continuing to live a lie and realizing that, wow, I really don't like the way this is, or I don't like it when people say these things to me, or I'm not happy mm-hmm. like this. You know, like you said earlier about, you know, realizing, oh, okay, I kind of like spending time by myself. Mm-hmm. I kind of enjoy this, or, you know, but when you realize that this is what you don't like, to be able to kind of stand up for yourself and say, hey, I know I've been rocking like this for so many years.
And right.
Saying that, you know, this is how it is. I really don't like this shit.
Yeah.
I know I've been telling you that I don't mind eating breadsticks, but I hate them shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And yeah, I know that you like this, but.
So I don't like it.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's kind of like. Mm-hmm. You know, and even with my family, not just, and this was in my personal relationships and mm-hmm. my, you know, also with my family, you know, professionally, just being able to, you know, like say to my mom, you know, who is always very opinionated, you know, feels like,
touch about my mom,
you mm-hmm. know, she can say whatever, but what I've realized is, she's going to say what she's going to say, and
right.
it's up to me whether or not I'm going to accept it or, you know, receive it or whatnot. So when she starts giving her opinions or her thoughts, mm-hmm. you know, before I would try to talk to her about it, mm-mm. but now I just, you know, I laugh and I say, Mom, it's going to be okay.
And leave it at that.
And she hates it because she feels like, you know, you're not taking it seriously. And I say, because it's not that serious.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's okay, you know, because this isn't your life.
Exactly.
This isn't your life. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to walk away.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
No disrespect.
I love it. Right.
No disrespect. And so, I mean, literally, I say that to her and then I walk off.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and so, not saying that she has changed her ways, you know, but
you change how you react to it.
Correct.
Though. Yeah.
Because I can't change her.
Right.
My mother's 84 years old.
Oh, yeah.
I can't. But what I can do is just, you know, just show her every time what she's going to get from it, which is right. silence or, you know, or no, we're not going to talk about this today.
Yes. I love saying that. Not today.
Yeah. We're not going to discuss it today.
That's on my agenda.
You don't have any rights. You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'll tell her, you don't have any rights in my life.
It's not like a crown moment.
Right, yeah.
Not today. you don't have the rights. I love it.
You know, and even then, like I said, celibacy, mm-hmm. You know, that was a crown moment for me because I realized, you know, even though I was a virgin up until I was 36, mm-hmm. you know,
yay.
I fell in love and, you know, this guy was my first or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But even in that, just being able to, I realized that I was not emotionally ready for sex.
Hmm.
And that,
can you say that one more time? Because I feel like we know each other for a very, very long time. But go ahead. Yeah. Sorry.
I realized that I was not emotionally ready. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, sex is not just, you know, we're taught that it is physical.
Yes.
But we are not taught that it is spiritual and that it is emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And that it is more than just fucking.
Yes.
And, you know, and not that I'm saying this is what that relationship was, because, you know, I feel like we both were very, you know, we very much loved each other, cared
right.
about each other's well-beings. But I was not ready for, you know, certain aspects,
mm-hmm.
You know, I wasn't ready for, you know, when you want it and the person doesn't want it.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't, you know, because then that takes a toll on your psyche.
Yes.
It takes a toll because you're feeling like, well, am I not attractive?
Yeah.
Does he not love me anymore? You know.
Yeah, and they'd be like, this
is not good. You know, let me watch some more pornos and see, get some more pointers and,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
When, you know, when you're. You know, listening and then getting fucked up by listening to my girlfriends who have been having sex since they were, you know, teenagers.
Yeah.
And listening to their tales and, you know, the thing, the position and girl, you know, when me and my man this way and da da da.
That might not be for you.
You know.
Yeah.
And so then I'm in bed trying shit. You know, it's like
and so
what I realized through my getting to who I am,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a person. I said, oh shit, bitch, you ain't ready.
Mm.
You know,
that's a crown moment to tell yourself that.
Yeah. And just to be like, you know, maybe you need to reevaluate yourself. And, you know, because then I realized that, you know, then I had to go back and apologize to myself for putting myself in a certain place.
Right.
Meaning not, you know, because I initiated it.
Right.
You know what I mean? I was the one thinking that I was ready.
Right.
And I thought that this would make me an adult.
Mm.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I thought it would make me more. And I felt like, oh, we've been together this, we should be doing
here. We should be this and we should be that. Yeah.
You know, whatever. And not really realizing that maybe, you know, maybe taking your time with things and really knowing. Because it's like, you know, so many people say, okay, you talk about not knowing the person long enough.
Right.
But nobody ever talks about, do you even know yourself?
Right. Very
and
true.
I didn't know myself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, so now I'm giving my physical body to someone and I don't even know what to do with it.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do. And I am going nuts in my mind because, you know, because I'm thinking, okay, am I moving the right way? Am I, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because you think about yourself and you're trying to think about him and it's like, I'm trying to please you, but I'm trying
right.
to make sure this is right or what do you want me to do? Or yeah.
Right. And then think about them and though in those years that we were doing this, thinking about the fact that I could not look at myself in the mirror.
And that's what counts.
I could not physically look at myself.
Mm-hmm.
I was disgusted by myself physically. I did not have love for myself.
Right.
So if we go into the spiritual aspect of it, now I am bringing self-hatred into the bed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Talk to us. Mm-hmm.
I'm bringing self-hatred into the bedroom. So I am exposing this man.
Yeah. And, you know, guys, if they don't ask, we don't say anything.
Right.
So it's just like, what do you want?
Right. It's like, and even when he did say, okay, how do I please you? I don't know because I don't know how to please myself. So, and when I say please myself, because I'm not into masturbation, I'm just, it's never, never, ever turned me on. But, but I don't know because I don't love myself enough to
know.
To know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And to understand how my body works and
right.
how to connect. And, you know, so it's like I cannot connect with him because I'm not connected with me.
Right.
So, you know, in doing, you know, so then it's like when I really started coming to that self-awareness or whatnot, mm-hmm. you know, and the whole self-hatred thing, it just. Literally, that blew my mind because I didn't even realize that's what
that's
I was
like
doing.
A whole like lighting a dynamite within yourself.
Yeah,
and it's like, and I don't know, people know it's like an emotional rage.
Yeah,
where it's just like f every, like forget everything. Like
yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah,
I don't want to care. I don't yeah. want to love. I don't want to just
Right. And so it's like just thinking about, you know, not trying to get explicit, but
yeah,
you know, and then. Whatever, and then, you know, just speaking in general, what is your mate bringing into the bed?
Right.
So it's like you got two fucked up people,
mm-hmm.
you know, doing this, and then where is the connection mm-hmm. if we're not, you know?
Yeah.
And at the time in my relationship, I wasn't being my authentic self. So if I, so I, again, I'm bringing another layer into to the sexual
yeah.
bedroom, which is. Inauthentic.
Yeah.
Of course. I'm being
right.
inauthentic.
Right.
Even in that. So, you know, so it wasn't fair to my partner. It wasn't,
yeah.
it wasn't fair to me. So to be able to mentally say, okay, I need to pull back and I need to, really kind of take a moment to get my shit together. And,
yeah.
you know, and different, which was very hard. I didn't think it possible.
Yeah.
You know, because I enjoy sex.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
But, you know, so just to be able to start throwing out your condoms and
preparing yourself. yeah.
And going through that. Yeah.
I think it was last year. Because, you know, I was with someone for 10 years, so I was definitely enjoying myself. But when they left, me and Plain Jane from AA meeting was talking, which is my sister, and I was like, well, I don't want to be a hoe for hugs. And she was like, she's like, what do you mean? And I was like, I don't want to be a hoe for hugs. Like, don't be a hoe. That's my thing. I have like, don't be a hoe for hugs. And when I said, I'm not like judging anybody,
yeah, yeah.
but I feel like because I'm so used to having that male voice or mm-hmm. that male saying, you know, like you said, I have to tell myself I look good today. Like, because I'm so used to. Well, when he left, I was just like, okay. I think I thought I would be like just normally me. But like you said, normally me, I didn't even know who that was.
Right, right.
So me trying to like dress up and yeah. have like a guy say I look nice today. And it was like, why does that matter?
Right.
You have to tell yourself you look nice today
right.
and keep it moving. But to the don't be a hoe for hugs, my thing was is that I'm not a hugger, but I will hug. I didn't want it to be where I'm just lonely one night
mm-hmm.
and I just want somebody next to me.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, there's no emotional attachment.
Right.
It's just a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. And I know that me, I would never be ready for something like that because I am an emotional person.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't want to be like, okay, well, he's gone now, so I'm going to like have my hot girl summer.
Right.
Which is not, again, not judging anybody. It's not for me.
Right, right, right.
It's not for me. So I would say, don't be a hoe for hugs because the season is changing. And it's like, you cold one night and,
right.
you know, you hug a guy, he smell good. Next thing you know.
Listen, let me tell you
y'all
something.
Waking up together. And it's just like, that's not, like, who are you? I don't even know who you are.
And what's so crazy, it's so easy.
Yes.
It's
such a hug.
Listen, it does. You
yeah.
know what? And it's like when you, you know what I mean? It's like, I remember, you know, it's like, because, you know, I'm a musician. So, I, you know,
yeah,
I'm digging and
yeah.
stuff. And, man, dudes be like.
So we got fans.
You know, and then
yeah.
they be like, you know, and they want to grab you around your waist. And I'm like, listen. Because, you know, and I'm 41, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you as a woman, I don't know, how old are you?
34.
Okay.
I just said 34.
So this is what I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, you know, concurred this with some of my my female friends, fellow female friends who are in their 40s.
Mm-hmm.
Sex in your 20s, or you think as a teenager your sex drive is something?
I heard when you get to your 40s, it's like through the roof.
Listen.
My good friend told me, she's like, girl.
When you hit, literally, it's like your body switches.
Mm-hmm.
And your hormones, I mean, sexually,
mm-hmm.
you are a powder keg. So it's like, you know, and I'm saying, so
mm-hmm.
being out, and so people go, you know, well, MJ, why don't you? Part of why I don't drink or
yeah.
do anything before I do a show
mm-hmm.
is number one, you know, because I want to be sober when I'm performing. But number two is because.
That just adds to it.
Because if a man walks, you know, they grab you by your waist,
mm-hmm.
and, honey, and they touch a spot,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like.
You're right.
You know, it's like, you know yeah. like, you know, like last night, I went over to a friend's house and he's gay, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing. You know, we were going, hanging out, and I was going in through the door and I gave him like a church hug.
Yeah.
And he said, wait a minute. That's just a church hug. Gay men are fine too.
Yes, they are.
And he said, no, come back, sis. Give me a... I was like, jeez.
You don't understand. Boy. I got you boundaries.
I'm in a moment of sensitivity.
Right. You might want to back you up. Might want... Right.
So, it's like, so, you know, so you tooting your butt back. So, you
yeah.
know, you know, whatever. So, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's not...
Yeah, that's why I came out with the don't, not came up, but that was, and that's only, that's like really talking to myself.
Yeah.
It's like, sis, don't be whole fucks. Like, I know that I'm not ready for a relationship right now. I know that, like you said, I'm learning myself.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like, yes, I have male friends and I can probably like call and be like, you know, what's good tonight or whatever, which to me, it sounds awkward because that's not me. Especially me being with someone for 10 years.
Right.
So it's like, even like me being, thinking of like being, doing like that action, it's like, girl. That's not you, like, So, yeah, my whole thing's, to me, again, never judging anybody for whatever they want to do. When I have a, I had a hot girl summer, and I didn't have to touch any penis at all. That was good. I was good. So, this right here is my hot girl summer. But, yeah, I when I read that from you, I was just like, that's how I, like, don't be a whole frog. Just,
yeah.
I, like I said, a good smelling guy, I just, okay.
You know, I mean, but yeah, and you know, and so, you know, I have committed myself to mm-hmm. being celibate, you know, until marriage, and you know, because that is, it works for me.
Yes, what works for you.
It's best for me.
Yes.
And you know, and so what excites me is now that I have a grasp on who I know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm walking that authenticity out and loving my body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm excited for the wedding night because now I value my body more.
Right.
And so I feel I definitely feel like it's going to be a great experience.
Yes.
A better experience. And I'm excited to be able to give who I am to,
right.
to my husband, to the man I'm going to marry, because it'll be a better experience for him.
Yeah, and for you, it'd be like a reset.
Yeah, it's definitely a reset, and it'll mm-hmm. be exciting for, you know, for the both of us.
Right.
You know, because then I'll be confident, and I'll know, and I'll understand, and I just don't, and, you know, and this is another subject for me, but
mm-hmm.
I feel like, you know, as women, when we were little girls, we were taught to demonize our bodies,
mm-hmm.
that our bodies were weapons and not precious temples,
yes.
not precious, you know, this is why, you know, you should wait because,
yeah.
you know, giving yourself to someone
mm-hmm.
is, this is what you're giving up.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you're giving, you know, in essence. And so, you know, it is so precious and it is so needed,
yeah,
you know. And so anyway,
yeah, when growing up, from what I can remember, my mom told me and my sister, she like, don't have kids or get married until you're the age 25, and that just stuck with me, except for like the sex part, because I was like, I'm grown.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think I was like 21, yeah, I was like, I'm grown, I can do whatever. But like you said, there was like no emotional there, and it was just like what I thought sex was about was
right.
not, yeah, it didn't make me feel like, oh, I can marry this guy. It was like, oh, this happened, okay,
right,
all right, well, okay. So I was cracked up have to be like your first time. It's not. Yeah. It's just like, all right.
Yeah, because I mean, I don't like, you know what I'm saying? I don't like when people say it's just sex. It's not.
No, it's not.
It is not just sex.
No.
There's so many layers to it. There's so much that goes along with it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's why sometimes, you know, that's why you have teenage girls going nuts.
Yeah.
Because they have prematurely engaged in something that they are not ready for.
Emotionally.
Right. And yeah. Then, you know, and not to say that it makes you bad or, you know,
yeah.
All I'm saying is that we really don't have the knowledge. And it's like, I have so many of my female friends that say, man, I wish that I would have waited because
yes.
It was just too much too soon. And
like you said, you're bringing emotions to the bedroom, and like we were saying, the guy may not ask you, well, what's wrong? So you're just like, well, what do you want me to do tonight? Like, it's not even fulfilling or pleasing because it's just like, well, what do you want?
Right.
It's just not, whatever. It's just like, yeah. I've had those conversations.
Yeah.
So even with the guy I was 10 years, I was like, I don't feel like it tonight. It's just, But like you said, it's more than just a physical thing. I really think that's really important for people to think about. Again, there's no judgment here.
Right.
We're definitely. Just saying from two queens that, just think about it.
Yeah.
There is an emotional attachment when it comes to sex, whether you think it is a one night stand and the next thing you know, you are at work trying to text him and make sure that he's fine. And yeah. A follow-up text, like, everything good?
Right,
like,
right.
No, you thought you had a one-night stand, but now, 2 weeks later, you're trying to find him on Instagram. So.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
And one more thing before we go, because you were talking about that, there is a book called Queen, and I forgot who wrote it, but I listened to the audio of it, and it was really good because this girl, she's, like, in her 20s, she was with this dude, and they decided to take, like, a three-month break. But to her, she thought it was going to get back together. He moved on. But in those 3 months, she had so many sexual partners because she was trying to fulfill that void that he was supposedly that void or whatever. But at the end of it, she had like go to she had to get counseling because she was like realizing like this is not for me.
Mm-hmm.
Even like with her one night stands, like she was like trying to like hug like one of the guys she slept with. She was like trying to like roll over and hug him. He was like, why are you touching me? This is not what we signed up for. She like he didn't want like her touching him or anything.
Wow.
It's a really good book. But at the end of it, she had to learn, and the counselor was telling her, she was like, you have to love yourself first. And after reading the book, I said, self-love is like the hardest love.
Mm-hmm.
It is like we give love, but we don't deposit it back into us. We're just like, love yourself first.
Right.
Before anything else.
But then I, you know, it's like, I agree with you, but, you know, but I feel like
mm-hmm.
we cannot give love.
Right.
Unless we love our, like, we're
yeah.
not giving love.
Right. That's true.
We're not giving love. We're giving a false sense of it because we want to be accepted.
Yeah.
So, you know, like 2 weeks ago, I had to, you know, I was praying about something and
mm-hmm.
I got convicted because it was like the Lord was bringing back to my remembrance some of the things that I had done for people in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And what he was showing me was the inauthenticity of it,
mm-hmm.
meaning like, you know, like, let's say if I bought you some lotion
mm-hmm.
and you may say, wow, Megan, you know, Megan really loves me. MJ really loves me because she bought me this lotion. She knows it's my favorite.
Yeah.
But what it really was me just trying to garner something from you.
Mm.
So it was not about you. It was,
right.
I was giving it about me.
Right.
Because I wanted you to think that highly I was cool.
Me.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was really a form of pride and self-absorption and narcissism.
Yeah.
You know, a small case of narcissism. So it was, so, I mean, what I'm saying is,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we're giving out of anything outside of love, outside of self-love.
Yeah.
You know, then we're actually sowing seeds of narcissism. We're sowing seeds of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Of pride.
That makes sense.
We're sowing hostile seeds.
Yeah.
We're not sowing good seeds.
Good seeds. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Because that goes back to what we say about, like, intention. Like, the intention of doing bad is so much, like, thought of, and it's, like, it's written out, and when people want to do, like, evil things, but then when someone wants to do good, it's just, like, they don't even know where to start
right.
with trying to do good. So, but it does start with yourself. So, yeah, I agree. Self-care is, yes, I'm learning that, self-love and self-care. So, okay. It's really good.
Yeah, I'm good.
I listened to audiobooks, but that one, I was like, wow. It was really, really good. Okay, was there anything else you wanted to share with us? Are you working on any new music? Or?
I am, I'm getting ready to start listening to some different, you know, works from different producers and things like that.
Yeah.
I want to kind of bring something out new before the year ends.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just working right now on building my brand and garnering more exposure and just getting out there a little bit more, collaborating with more people to get work done, and also getting the Alien Nation brand out there.
Yeah.
Coming on podcasts like Crown Talk.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
To get people to know more about being authentic and living intrinsically, evolving naturally.
I think that's so important. Mm. I came in here to recognize your crown for just being a celibate, but I just recognize your crown for just living your best life and living your truth.
You.
And living, as I say, like you said, is progressing and continuing to do so. So thank you so much for reaching out to me. Like, hey sis, I need my crown recognized. I was like, okay, yes. I love recognizing people crown, listening to their stories, because nobody knows. on Netflix, it's a TV show called Crown, and they talk about Queen Elizabeth. And a lot of stuff she was going through. Mm-hmm. Oh, do you? Mm-hmm. Hi, you're best friend.
Yeah.
But a lot of stuff that she was going through was like what women go through on a daily basis.
Right.
Where just like, you know, your husband don't want to really want to be with you, or he's telling you that, you know, you have to have kids. They didn't want you to get married, all this stuff. But I was rewatching it because I think the new season come out in November. And I started like trying to find like black queens online, but most of them were not like enough information.
Right.
And I was like, this doesn't make any sense because I know we're out there. And I was like, we are out there.
Right.
We're here. So like I said, starting off, where Maya Angelou said, there's no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside of you. And I believe that when we tell our stories, we recognize each other's crown.
Yes.
So, thank you again for coming. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So this has been Crown Riri and Miss MJ Baker on Crown Talk. And as always, do not forget your crown.
Yay.